All right, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Thursday. Mike, you want to kick us off?
Oh, yeah, we can jump in there. I think there's only three of us on so far. I didn't hear anybody else chiming in. There might be, but...
Yeah, and I can't... I just got Sherry the right PIN code. I was having a brain cramp the other day when I sent her the number. I mistyped the... Anyway, long story.
Yeah.
She'll be jumping on in here in a few. I'm going to keep an eye on my email, too, to make sure that she got that. So, yeah, what's going on?
Okay. So, we're just still making quite a few offers. I'm up to 45 total.
Yep.
Accepted. I got a couple of them that we're working with. The ones that we talked about last week, I'm still working on getting buyers lined up for those.
Yep.
The other one that the folks had, the property next to the house, I'm just going to let that thing rest. The old gentleman that we were chasing.
Yeah, what did you say on the one with the lot?
The one with the lot. So I'm just going to, there was four people involved. One sibling is trying to price it out some way, some other fashion. I said, hey, you know what? Our price is where we're at. If things don't work out, give me a call. So we'll let that one go. The other one also, the two of them had lots next to the properties. One was in the hood, real rough area, a little small, 880 square foot. That one I have under contract. Getting some people that are asking about it, sending them information, not getting anybody back saying, yeah, we're ready to move. That one's like a 16.8 cap, so I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'm a little optimistic on something, maybe the rents or something, but we'll see. We'll just kind of let it work its way out. The Lansing property, the one that I'd been having trouble getting a key to and getting inside of.
Yeah.
Finally got a key.
Are you serious?
Finally got in the house.
And what does it look like?
It's pretty rough. It needs a full-on rehab.
Yeah.
It's a big house, so it's 2,100 square foot. My sales guy took like 30 pictures on the inside. They started doing some work inside already. It's built in 1919. It's a two-story, and it actually has a mother-in-law's apartment upstairs. It's got a full kitchen, two-bed, one-bath upstairs, and a full kitchen, two-bed, one-bath downstairs. I'm almost rethinking the buy and hold, because originally my buy and hold numbers were a little bit weak because of the, looking at it as a single family home. But the rents over there are right about $995. But if you could rent out an upstairs apartment for $650, $700, downstairs for $650, $700. Yeah.
Can you completely close them off?
I don't know. I've got to look at the pictures a little closer.
Yeah,
but,
and then you want to know if there's separate entrance too. Or that's kind of funky.
Yeah. So that may help it actually in the buy and hold arena.
Right.
The ARVs in that area, I've been looking a little closer, and it's real slow sales. But the house two doors up sold for $170 about a year and a half ago. But it was a full, looked like it was a scrape and build. It doesn't even look like it was a rehab.
Right.
So actually, I'm sorry, $180.
So two kitchens in this thing, huh?
Yeah, there's an upstairs kitchen and a downstairs kitchen.
Do you think you would just gut it, get rid of it?
I don't know.
That's what you're trying to figure out.
That's what I'm trying to evaluate, if it would work if somebody wanted to do a multi-unit buy and hold.
Yeah, so here's the thing, too, is make sure it's zoned multi-unit, or you're going to have two families going in there that could be an issue with the city. So you probably want to call down and say, hey, I'm looking to buy this address. We inspected it. I've always found city employees to be really helpful with questions like that.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just say I've got a zoning question on a property I'm looking to buy.
Okay.
Kind of explain it to them. You don't have to give them an address.
You're going to,
because they're going to have to look it up.
Okay.
Say, I'm trying to figure out what to do with this thing. So.
Okay.
And then, obviously, to rent two units, you got to be able to close them off.
Yeah, utilities got to be separated.
Yeah.
There's two breaker boxes on the wall he took a picture of.
Okay.
Two separate, but I'd have to see the outside picture to see if there's actually two services or if it's just one service.
Yeah, you know what?
You could, two breakers.
You could start with the energy company prior to the city and just say, hey, tell me about this address. We just did an inspection on it. See if they'd give you any info.
Yep.
So that one might have a little bit more to work with.
The guy has been really a real difficult person to deal with. And I did a little research on him, and I think he's an investor, but he plays around, I think, in the high end market. And this is a little stepchild. I pulled up the address to his LLC, and he lives in like a $1.6 million home.
Yeah.
So this is probably just nothing to him.
Little
hesitation. So anyway, we're going to just keep pushing on that one. I just wanted to see if I could rework it another way to put it out to maybe some different type of buyers. I had one guy look at it. One of my guys that was on me right away kept wanting to see pictures. He actually went and looked at it, and he walked around it, and he didn't get inside because we didn't have the key yet, but he kind of backed off. He's like, it probably needs a little, because I originally was estimating 25 on rehab before we got into it.
Right.
And I had told him 25 to 38. He's like, I still think 38 is probably going to be a little light. And he asked me if I had any room to move. I said, I got a few bucks I could work with you, but we don't put too much on it. We're just trying to, move it along and save you the money. So he was like, I'll probably have to pass on this one, but keep me, next one you get in, let me know.
Okay.
So he was my most aggressive guy initially. On the other little rehab, remember I told you the guy I had that was would drive through the hood and didn't care and was buying garbage? I've reached out to him in every way, shape, and form, email, text, calls, voicemails, and he won't reply back.
Huh.
And he was he was all hot and heavy about it and said he had 200 properties.
Yeah.
He's down to 40. He's building back up. He was bragging about being in the hood and not worried about it. So I tried to get a hold of him three different times now. This last voicemail, I said, hey, you know what? I mean, if you ask me to contact you, I'm happy to contact you. If you're not interested, please let me know. I'll leave you alone. I don't have no problem with that. But just reach out to me. You know what I mean? If you're interested, you're interested. If you're not, hey, no worries, man. Let's move on.
Right.
So I don't want to bug him. That's what I told him. I don't want to bug you. If you're not interested, just send me a text or something, and I'll leave you alone.
Right.
So.
Yeah, crazy.
Are
you skip tracing your list source list in and around these areas, or do you have it done yet?
I am working through the list that I have of the buyers that have the LLCs around it and all through there. Then I went on to Craigslist, pulled the the rents in the areas, went in, made some good contacts through those. Actually, I did added 6 buyers to my list through the Craigslist ads, and then they were asking about the property, so I sent them the one guy sent both properties because he actually was doing both, and I said, I got one in Portsmouth I can send you. I just got it in, gave him the stuff, and he's like, send it over. So I sent it to him, hadn't heard back from him, and then I sent 5 other people just specifically on this little buy and hold, that little 880 square foot one. So one guy had told me that he buys them real cheap. He uses really weird numbers on how he figures what they're worth. So he'll take the assessor's value of it.
Okay.
And he wants to have at least 30% equity under the assessor's value.
Well, what the heck?
He doesn't look at Mark's value. Yeah, I never. I was kind of like, because I was asking him, I said, what's your, you know, how about a cap rate? And I said, this one's a 16.9 cap. And he was like, huh, cap rate? I said, ROI, return on investment. How do you measure your deals? He said he does most of the stuff himself. He's got like four or five little buy and holds. That's pretty much what he does.
Yeah.
And he said he doesn't want to be upside down in case things go sideways. So he basically was looking at the values that way. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's another way of doing it. So,
right.
I sent him that one over. I said, this is what it is. Here's the rents. Here's the,
right.
You know, here's how we look at it. And I hadn't heard back from him, but, so I'm tapping into him. I'm calling. I'm making probably 30 calls a day trying to just get through
some
of these people too.
Good. So, hustling it up.
Yeah.
Cool. Who just joined us? Let me check. Who just chimed in real quick?
Dave Gwynn's on here too.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Mike? And Mike.
I'm going to, since I've given Sherry the wrong info, I think I'm going to try and chime her in here really quick. So, yeah, Mike, go ahead. Let me finish up and then.
So the vacant land market seems to be pretty powerful in Richmond. We found a vacant. We called on it. The guy just sold it 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
He says, I don't have any other properties. He says, but I have about 12 acres of vacant land over here. There's 10 of it's undeveloped, and there's two lots that are in a subdivision undeveloped. They're just vacant lots. So he asked to give a price on that. So I went and did some quick research on what the stuff was going for in the area. And we threw him a price today on it. The values in the area are anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000 an acre, and I kind of put an estimate together for all 12 at about $4,000 an acre. Let it just see what happens, and then another one we run across. There's two vacants on. It's weird because it's on a busy street, it's on like a state highway, and there's I went and did the research in the county, the city, and there's five addresses associated to these lots. It's all one now. Two vacants. One of them, he said, is condemned. He was going to do the rehab on it, but it's too far gone. So he already has contracts to have it demolished. Oh. He wanted a price on the one and then all the land, which I come to find out it's all one anyway, so he'd have to have it probably re-subdivided if he even wanted to try to separate it.
Right.
But as I was doing my research, it's all commercial.
Yeah, so you're just going to steer clear?
Well, I mean, I'm familiar with commercial properties as well, stuff. So I just told him, throw him a number together, so values in the area are probably around 160 for that property. So I come up with a figure of like 41,500 fees. That's with the house that's zoned commercial, so you can turn it into a business, but it's not really a residence. And there's a house just down the street that's actually a beauty shop. It was an old house
outside the
beauty parlor.
Here's the thing on this outlier stuff: dirt, commercial. If you start talking to buyers and they say you buy it, fantastic. Yeah. But I was just chatting with our guys today about, what is it that we do? What do we do? What's our ideal property?
Yeah.
Right. Let's just go do that 1,000 times more.
Yeah.
Cause stuff is going to, it seems like the more you start moving, and who just chimed in there?
Mike.
Okay. Hang on, guys. Mike, let me do this. Let me get Sherry on here. I can't believe I sent her the wrong number twice. I'm just having one of those weeks. Hang on, everybody. I'll be right back.
Okay.
15 bucks on there.
While we're on here, I was going to ask you, Mike, with your skip tracer, are you just having them load in the AERS numbers in a certain box, or are they providing, like, the TLO report for you? Or?
You're asking me, Mike Trace?
Yeah. You don't mind.
Yeah. No, I actually went in and added, you can do the custom field in FreedomSoft. And I added three different boxes. So the first one is the skip tracer's first set of information that he brings in and any communication modes that we have with the phone. All
right, everybody, I'm back. Hang on one second here.
Okay. And the second one is for family heirs I put in there. And then I put a third one in that's the second skip trace. So if my skip tracer doesn't get me information on the first one, I'll have him put it in the last box. And we just put notes by each phone number, whether it's out of service or you made contact or it's the wrong person. So you just type it right in the notes and just keep moving through it. And we know exactly
Great.
Who we called, when we called them, put the date on it. So then I added some extra in the status and follow-ups. I really customized mine. So... I could Mike's more versed at kind of how to like explain how things are going on, but I'm kind of a bit anal about how I like to see things, so I always manipulate things the way I want them.
Sure.
But my main screen when I go into FreedomSoft and I'm looking at my leads, I've got headers that I pop up for follow-up on the leads and stuff that all show up there so I can go in and look at all the leads that we're looking at and know exactly what's going on with my sales guy, who he's called, whether he's on the first call, second call, whether he left a message. So I don't have to go into each lead to try to figure all that out.
Right on that front page.
Yeah.
All right, what's the topic at hand?
Oh, he was just asking me how I was keeping track of my skip tracing information.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Kind of what I was doing with it.
Gotcha. So I was just going to finish this up, Mike. So you're going to eyeball things are going to come your way. And here's the deal out of St. Louis. We want to buy these little houses with pitched roofs. Most of them have siding on them. Sometimes they're brick. A lot of them, they need construction, but we can get in and out in under 60 days for sure. They're 8 to 1,200 square feet. They rent for $750 to about $925. And that's kind of our little sweet spot. And then today, one of my acquisitions guys is talking to a guy, and I think he's going to be a good contact, but they're a big nationwide outfit. I bumped into what appears to be a whale. He sent over 30 properties in St. Louis, and I say, so these are and I ended up calling him. I say, so these are the 30 for St. Louis, and he chuckles, and he goes, no, we have hundreds that were wholesaling in St. Louis. This is just the 30 properties after talking to your guy that I sent over. So they're this big nationwide whatever, and they just own who knows how many properties. I start looking at them, and they're all downtown, and they're these brick. So downtown St. Louis, if you go like south, mostly south, down by the Anheuser-Busch plant, if any of you know St. Louis, but they're these old Victorian-looking brick square two stories. And they're super cool, but they're 2,000 square feet, 2,800 square feet. And I started talking to this guy, and these are $60,000 and up fix-up budgets. And so, I was I hung up with him, and I was talking to Chris on our team, and I was like, you know what, these will be fun. These are cool houses, but this isn't our wheelhouse. We want to buy a little thing that's a little, in a neighborhood, but a little more in the burbs. Our fix-up estimates are going to be $10,000 to $25,000. we can do all that work in 45 to 60 days, find our tenant and be gone, instead of, you know, 4 or 5 month rehab projects and that kind of thing. So,
sure.
You know, Mike, to go back to your point, could you put time, energy, and effort into a commercial deal? You could, but not really the sweet spot. So, you know, the more momentum you get, I'm just telling you all that the more these things are going to start coming your way. Hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? And, you know, it's kind of that that analogy we've all heard where, you know, the family practice doctor, they get, you know, they make a good salary, but they make a tenth of what a brain surgeon works. So you've got a doctor that knows a little bit about everything, a generalist, and they get paid, what, 100 to 200 grand a year. And then you go to the brain surgeons, and they're north of a million. So, you know, be the specialist. What does that look like? And in real estate, you can – here's what I'll say, the one caveat, right? As your buyer's list starts to grow, and that's your network, we talk about it all the time, you're going to come across people that say, hey, I'm looking for this. Hey, if you find dirt, do this. Hey, if you find this, hey, I'm looking for a little commercial. I want a fourplex. I want a tenplex, whatever. If you come across it, it's still, I'm telling you, these things can be time sucks out of the business. So you're going to have to make those decisions. Is this worth pursuing or not? My opinion where you're at, and I think you're probably making the same one, but it sounds like you have a little commercial background, but now you're looking for a whole new set of buyers. What am I going to do to it? And all of a sudden you've lost, you know, 2.5, 3 hours, half a day, trying to chase this thing that's not really in the sweet spot. So, you know, I told that guy today, I was like, hey, these are great. These aren't in our wheelhouse. Do you have anything? So in St. Louis, it's all about St. Louis City and St. Louis County. And I said, do you have anything in St. Louis County? And he goes, yeah, let me get you that list. Basically said, you know, these are great, and they're great prices. He's selling some of these little things for, you know, I say little, but some of them weren't. But, you know, they have values like $150,000, $160,000, and he's got them for sale at $19,500. I mean, those are strong numbers. But I don't want to go tie up. I don't want to go tie up a bunch of money in a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 rehab, 4 months, all this effort. You know, we can go in. And again, what is your model? What are you selling, right? Who's your ideal buyer? Who's your avatar? That's from a marketing standpoint. What does your buyer look like? Who do you sell to? And what is your product? So there's plenty out there to go get that. Now, if you expand into a few other things as you start moving, that's fine. But I'm just saying, when we get focused, we tend to reduce stress and make more money. So, right, the ability to say no.
Yeah,
not my wheelhouse. So it's funny you bring that up because I same conversation today. I was like, hey, man, these are cool. This isn't what we do. So do you have another list? He's like, yeah, I've got some stuff that's right up your alley. I'll email it to you.
I had that same problem when I had my hot rod shop. I could fix and work on anything. I don't care what it is. Built in the last 200 years, I can fix it. Semis, motorcycles, safes.
Right.
I mean, coffee grinders, it didn't matter. So I had the same issue. I was too diluted. I could do everything. I couldn't hire a staff that could handle what I could do. So this is the same thing. My mentality is, oh, yeah, I could do anything, but I need to get focused and, like you said, stay on
path. It costs time and efficiency. And then you start spending all this time, energy, and effort chasing something that may or may not go anywhere. So just get clear on – this is – and it really – this is why we talk to buyers, right? You always got to be talking to buyers. What do they want? What do you buy? What do you buyers buy? You know, we can look up the data and see what they buy. We can have conversations and ask them what they buy. Then we can go pinpoint, this is what I go after.
Yeah.
And here's what's even better, right? You come across land and you just say, hey, I've got a great referral for you. This person deals in land all day long and just move the relationship forward. Oh, you've got a commercial? Great. You know, I met somebody else maybe in your buyer's list. You know, they're, you know, whatever they do with commercial, bam, go talk to them. You know, I'm here for your real estate needs. So all of us, our tendency is to be a generalist. Oh, yeah, I can make money on that. What, it's a $3 million sale price, but it's worth what, five? Oh, yeah, let me do that. And then we just put all this time, energy, and effort into it instead of just going back to, let's pick one thing and let's be the best at it and do it really, really well. and everything just works better that way.
Yeah.
So
I agree. So I just need to get directed. My sales guy's I'm probably not influencing him right either, because I am. When he sends me something, somebody just sending it off, I'm just, okay, yeah, we'll look at it instead of just saying, hey, you know what, let's get back on task. So I'll do that tomorrow. Hey, let's just stay focused on what we do. You know, if people have other needs, that's fine. You know, let's not insult them, but let's just try to make sure we're staying focused on what we're doing. So that's I'll do that.
Yep.
Other than that, everything's going well.
Here's the thing. Good. If we start focused, that's the place to start, really focused. And then if we broaden that beam a little bit over time, that's fine.
Yeah.
But when we're too wide, we're just distracted. And then it's, hey, let me make a deal out of this. Let me make a deal out of this. Let me make a deal out of this. Instead of just knowing, yes, that's a deal. No, that's not. I'll take the first one and no thanks on the second.
Yeah.
And then just go turn it, repeat it, and do it again. 1,000 more times. So, cool, good stuff.
Yep. So we're doing good. That thing's working really well with my VA, like I told you, with having him.
Yeah.
You know, paying him a little more money, obviously paying him 80 cents a lead, but holding him to giving me at least 2 skip traces. On the second one, he's, you know, making him get me 2 to 3 other type of contacts, and he doesn't seem to. He's not complaining about it. No issue. So I think it's stretching my follower a little further than how it was kind of going before. I'm fairly happy. It's a little more work on my side just because I'm putting together smaller groups instead of just giving him 100 to do.
Yeah.
But it's fine, okay, in my system. I set it up in different groups that I'm having him do, and my sales guy goes through those groups of 25. He'll call through them all. We're marking them with different colors according to what happened. And I just tell my, you know, if it's, we leave them just gray, no color, if they need to be reskip traced because the numbers were no good. If he called them once, we're turning them blue. And I have a drop down that he could put that he made, you know, called and either left a voicemail or whatever. If he makes contact with them, we know. The skip tracer, I just have him go through, and he can just look back into it and know that all the gray ones he needs to redo.
Okay.
So the second time around. So
here's the thing about systems. It's whatever works. Based on what you're telling me in FreedomSoft, you're going to run out of colors, and you won't ever run out of statuses. So like with the workflow automation or just the custom statuses. The other thing, too, that's handy about it is, when you click into a campaign, the little pie chart triggers off status, not color.
Yeah.
So my recommendation, you know, you do whatever works and however you want to gel with the team, but my recommendation is to use statuses, because that way I can go and click into a campaign and, you know, my skip tracer knows if the status is new, they need to skip trace it. Everything else is not them unless it says skip trace again, you know, all bad numbers. So all they have to do is click on it and say, okay, you know, how many in here are new? 55. Now I can, with that pie chart, I can go into the same campaign and I can say, okay, I went in yesterday and there were 100 new. I went in today and there are 50 new. So I know my day's been active at a glance. And then I can look at the first status, because after the VA runs the skip trace, they changed the status to number one skip trace complete call seller. And so I can keep an eye on that number. If that's not moving, nobody's making phone calls out of that campaign. That should move no matter what to either spoke or left a message or whatever. That's getting changed on the first phone call, on the first attempt. So that's my recommendation. It's just how FreedomSoft was built. I think the colors are handy. Yeah. I use colors more once we have them under contract and their properties. Then I use the colors. So you could have, you know, pick a color and that's, you know, this market, or a turnkey rental color or a fix and flip color, to do it that way. Because then when I click on properties, I don't have the pie chart anymore. I'm looking at the screen and all my properties that are under contract are right there. And then I can just see the color off to the side. So that's my 2 cents on it.
Yep. And I am
the bottom line
is
whatever works.
Status. I am using status, and I added a bunch of stuff to status. So colors are more just as a we're really not relying on those other than just using like three colors is all for basically where it's at. So, it's going, system's going good. I had a little issues today, though, getting kicked out of the system, and my sales guy was getting kicked
everybody
out.
Everybody did. I know those rich tech guys were on it. Yeah, and I was looking into that because we have a Slack channel with all of our tech guys, the server guys, the development team. And I didn't keep too close to tabs, but they were running tests on all that stuff. So, just the nature of online technology. But, yeah, I'm assuming it's either worked out now or it will be in the near future. They won't sleep until it is. So.
Yeah, and then the voicemail thing was weird. I had, since we had talked last week about getting it set up, and I went in three different devices, and it wouldn't save it, and then I even got on my son's laptop trying to figure out what was going on. Same thing, and then I'd sent you the message. And then the next day I got in, went in, did it, and it was working fine. So
yeah, I don't know what changed for that one.
No,
I
don't know. So
hard to see.
Anyhow,
it's working.
We're good.
Now. Good.
It's working now.
Good. Dave, you want to chime in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are we at?
I've been.
Did you jump on the phone?
I haven't. I've talked to a couple of sellers. I haven't done any acceptances yet, but I've been really working more on. I had my leads kind of plateau there, coming in from the bird dogs, and I've been having my assistant help me with that front end while I've been working on getting the sales guy dialed in a skip tracer, which I got off of Upwork, and found out.
We lost you.
In speaking with the bird dog.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. In speaking with the bird dog, so that, it was more of for the prize rather than, do you think this would be okay to do? Talking to the bird dog, so I helped her kind of dial that in. So we've got some more bird dogs coming on. That's going to help. We're currently 38 leads.
How many vacant leads do you have in the door?
38.
How many are skip traced? Do you have a VA?
So I have I do have a VA. I was talking to them today. It was one of my questions about TLO and what all information, or just have them do like a PDF and attach it.
Attach it to what?
Attach it to the lead record.
No, just copy the numbers right into FreedomSoft, into the notes section, or they can put them up top. Yeah, I think I sent you that video, right? That Vimeo video that I shot. Did you watch it?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Have them do that. Yeah, don't add any extra, don't export, don't import. Give your VAs access to FreedomSoft. The training videos are in the coaching center. I sent Dave mine if anybody else wants it. You're free to use it. You just have to send me an email to the coaching center. But, that's it. Just get everybody in one spot or it's too much to keep track of. I'm going to tell you, once you have a couple thousand leads in FreedomSoft, you'll look at it and go, holy cow, I know some are falling through the cracks here. We just, we're not going to be perfect. We just have to be decent, and you'll have plenty of people to call.
Yeah.
But you just want them to park the numbers right inside there. What's that? Somebody just had a question?
Seller.
No, I just wanted to let you know I joined. This is Sherry Hardister.
Hey, Sherry. Oh, my gosh. I totally brain cramped.
That's okay. I'm just going to listen in.
I have two. We have a couple conference call numbers for different things, and you were the first person I've done that to. So, congratulations.
<That's okay>.
Welcome. I'm glad you're on. Now I can relax. That was.
Okay.
I was like, oh my gosh, I gave her the wrong pin. So, yeah, Dave. Get them in FreedomSoft. you're going to add your VA to the team, and you're going to coach them through, and you're going to give them permission to the campaigns. And if it says new, skip trace it, and then change the status so you know where it's at. But yeah, just have them save the numbers in there, because if they go to a PDF attachment, here's why. Now your salesperson is going to have to look at the attachment, grab the number,
right?
Then they're going to have to type it in because it's PDF or copy paste it. Whereas if they add them in FreedomSoft, and here's the thing, I usually have them add them in the notes section, all right, in the notes box. And then what we're doing now is the VA, and this is even an update from that video, the VA is adding them to the primary contact. So what the tech guys did recently is now you can add as many numbers as you want to that primary contact. The reason that matters is because all the numbers tied to that contact are links. They're clickable. So now our guys, now that we have call recording in FreedomSoft, they can click. They can just click on a link, and if that's a bad number, you know, they can just put a little note or delete it or whatever the case, and then they can go to the next one, click on it, the dialer pulls up, they click call, and that they're off to the races, and it's automatically recorded. So
that's the primary contact, which is initially the bird dog sending it in, then you update it with the...
Correct. What you have to do is the VA, when they run the skip trace, they're going to click to add a new contact. That'll become the owner of record. And
right.
Then when they do that, they can add as many numbers as they need, and they just copy-paste them from their skip trace service.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Is that all making sense?
Yep. And then they're clickable,
okay.
And they'll call right through FreedomSoft.
It's my recommendation. When the call recording went live, that's my recommendation. So, yeah, our entire team now is calling. Ever since the call recording went live, they're calling through FreedomSoft, because it's all automatically recorded. So we can go back, to go back and listen to calls for training purposes, there's nothing better. You can hear exactly what's going on. So.
Perfect.
Sir. And then you'd also know how many they're making. I mean, if they're on an outside service and they say, hey, I made 50 calls today. You could ask them for a screenshot or something, but when it's in FreedomSoft, you just click on the reports tab and click phone reports, and it'll show you.
Well, and the training from the recording too to help them get better.
Absolutely.
Is huge.
Everybody learns on those training calls. I mean, you can make sure they're going through the script, see if they're connecting with sellers, how are they presenting offers, that kind of thing. You can hear it all. It's awesome.
Perfect.
Great tool. Yep.
Great.
What else?
Yeah,
you're at a point now. Yeah, step on the lead. 38's a good start.
This one.
Yep.
Make sure that how many of the 38 are skip trace?
Well, preliminarily, I just used that True People search. I think my assistant got them all done today.
Okay.
So I was going to dial tomorrow morning, and then
right.
I got some good candidates from my sales person post on Craigslist already. So.
And here's the thing, right? This comes up a lot on here, but good pressure on the business. So we're probably talking about it Monday. You go hire a salesperson and tell them that you have leads for them and you have 38, you will figure out how to get more in the door. Promise.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to do it. Here's what else you want to do is go grab... Since you have a VA, go pull a list with the vacant house tool in FreedomSoft and start getting those skip traced when they're not working on your bird dog leads, and have those on standby.
Okay.
All right? Plan B.
Right on.
We're always going to work field vacant leads first, leads from that USPS search in FreedomSoft secondary. That's plan B. But you're at the point now where you have 38 and you're interviewing salespeople. And so they'll go through 38 in less than 48 hours. And so stay on the bird dogs and then get a plan B campaign in place. And so do a run a search and do click the out of state owner button when you run that vacant search and get some of those ready to rock and roll. Sound good?
Sounds great. Yeah, yeah. Had an interesting call today. I had a guy that I thought was going to start yesterday, an Uber driver, bird dog.
Yeah.
And he kind of went dark for a little bit. And then I actually called him on the phone today. And he was like, yeah, that doesn't excite me. And went into an area I'm sure you're going to have the same feeling that I had. But he's an Uber driver, but he also has his license, real estate license. And so I told him we might be able to work something out rather than doing $3 a picture if we close on it. And it'll be tied to the wholesale fee and or purchase price, you know, 1% type thing, but no more than 10% of the wholesale deal. And then he can be my guy to do some lockbox hanging, take pictures of the house, and willing to drive all over town because he can pick up a fare as an Uber driver when he gets done or something.
Right. I don't are you asking for an opinion, or are you just telling me about the conversation?
Yeah, I was going to
give you an opinion.
I think I know what
you're
going to say.
I'm going to give you an opinion anyway. if you get them to go drive for leads, they're not going to see any compensation for it, and so there's going to be no reward, and they're going to say, you know, yeah, I think one's going to close, but this isn't worth my time, and so they're going to be out. And so my thought is find a bird dog that's willing to drive, pay him for the lead. When the check shows up, here's what's crazy about Uber. I don't know what Uber drivers make an hour, but they go hustle up a bunch of vacants in a good zip code for you. I mean, I had a guy, this guy that I'm not working with him anymore for a few other reasons, but he had a couple 3 and 4 hour shifts in St. Louis where he made, I mean, I did the math later. I think he was making $75 an hour, $60 an hour. If he was driving some, you know, some neighborhoods where there are a lot of vacants, and he was focused. He was like, I'm going to go drive for, you know, 3 hours, and I'm going to find some leads. And so they're not making that driving for Uber. I know that. So I would say not a good fit. Find somebody that just has some spare time. And you just say, hey, you know, you want to go earn a couple hundred extra bucks this week? Let's get you in the car. And then the compensation is there for the work, and that's what keeps them motivated. That other arrangement is going to be tough. Yep.
Right.
Keep looking.
Yeah, it seems like we get to that pay per lead.
Here's the other thing, too.
They drop off.
Here's the other thing, too. They're licensed, and they're going to say, okay, I'm going to put a lockbox on this place and this, that, and the other, and well, I'm a licensed agent. I'm going to want some great compensation, as opposed to, hey, I'm accustomed to paying $15 for a trip charge. Can you go throw a lockbox on this place for me? And that person's going to say, oh, heck yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, good stuff, though. Yeah, man, it's time to hit the phone, and I want to I want some offers made, and I feel like there's a deal in that. There's got to be one in those 38 leads. I want to hear about it on Monday. How about that?
Perfect.
Beautiful.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I got to check out. We got the playoffs starting tonight for the kids' hockey team. So.
Nice. Good luck. How old are they?
Thank you. 12-year-olds.
Nice. So they're starting to play a little bit, I bet.
That's right. Next year it's full check, so.
Ah, nice.
We'll see.
One more year until all the parents get nervous about concussions, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. I hope they play well.
Thank you.
Yep. Questions and updates. Hey, Gary, I'll just ask you, did you get Google Chrome downloaded?
Not yet, Rob. I'm working on it.
Okay. Where are you guys at in the modules?
We're on, what was it? We're on on the absentee owners that we kind of stopped there. We had a delay because everything I try to do is having to backtrack. PayPal wasn't accepting my card. Well, there was no options for other credit cards, just PayPal, and And I had a PayPal set up with an old phone number, and now I had to do the new one, and I had to go to the Echo Congress for that. So that's where we're at right now.
What are you using PayPal for?
To get some, purchase some leads in the city.
Some leads from where?
From Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, from the city of Albuquerque?
Yes.
Is that something you guys have been doing in the past?
No.
Okay. So stay in the modules. I'm all for you adding in some other stuff later, but let's get some vacants generated. So are you in module 2 or are you in 3 yet?
I'm sorry?
Are you in module 2 or 3?
On 3.
Okay.
On absentee owners list, and it said to purchase those. So are we not supposed to do that?
Well, yeah, but you said you were buying. You mean, are you buying a list from ListSource, or you're buying? You said
yes, from ListSource.
Gotcha. Okay.
You scared me. I thought I was doing something wrong.
Yeah, no, there's no. We're not buying leads from the city. Yeah, from ListSource.
Right.
So you're buying the absentee owner stuff.
Right.
Gotcha. That's a really valuable list, and I know you heard it in the training, but let's talk about it again. So here's what you're doing. Absentee owners, right? Clearly what it says, it means whoever bought the property is not going to live there as a primary residence. So if you go into, you know, coastal areas or Florida, whatever, you're going to get some people buying a second home. But when you go into the areas and neighborhoods where we're at, that's not what's going on, right? These are investor purchases. And so what we do with that data, and you may or may not be to this point yet, but after you buy it, you're going to map it. And what's so cool about this is you'll be able to go into your city, and this is any city USA. I mean, you buy this data, and you go in and map it, and you're going to see exactly where the investor activity is taking place. Now, cities will tend to look like one of two things. Some of them will look like a shotgun shell hit it, and there will be activity everywhere. That's how Denver would look, because there really isn't a neighborhood or area in Denver that investors shy away from. They'll buy everywhere. But you'll go into other markets, and there will be distinct pockets of investor activity, and you'll see 3 to 5 areas where all these little pins are. All right? That's really valuable to know, obviously. Where do you want to go generate leads? Well, in those areas. All right? So once you map that data, it helps us do 3 things. Number 1, it tells us where to send bird dogs to go generate leads, right? Number 2, you're going to see, and it shows you in the training how to buy that list, because you're going to add some data to it. But what you're going to add to that list is the last sale price. And so now, let's say you get a property under contract, 123 Main Street, you can go right to your map into that area, and you'll see all the different pins, and those are the investor transactions you bought. And you can then click on them. I use Google Maps to do it. You can click on them, and it'll pull up all the data. Here's the buyer. Here's the last sale date. Here's the last sale price, bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage. So now when you start making offers, it can help you set your offer price, because you say, hey, the 10 properties around this one that I'm looking at have all sold between $20,000 and $25,000. So that tells you, if you're going to sell right to one of those investors, that's the investor price. You want to tie it up at, you know, 15 to 18, so there's some room in there to mark it up. All right, so that's the second way it helps. The third way it helps is when you go to sell it, you can skip trace that list, and those are all your active buyers in your market, right? So we skip trace that list, and now all of a sudden we've got a list of buyers, and you can do the same thing on the map. You can go right in. Now you've got your property that you're looking at, and it's under contract, 123 Main Street, and you can say, hey, I'm going to call, you know, the 10 investors that bought a property recently in the same neighborhood. And so we have a VA skip trace that list, and now we're dialing people and saying, hey, Gary, I found your name in public records. It looks like you just bought 124 Main Street a couple months ago. I've got one for sale at 123 Main Street. Are you still buying? See how laser focused that gets with that list?
Yeah. No, there's definitely good tools there, just learning how to use them and maneuver around them.
Absolutely. And you know, the learning curve is always the hardest up front, right? You're getting used to some of these new tools and how we're going about this. So, you know, work through it the first time, and then this stuff becomes second nature the more we start to use it.
Right, right.
So good stuff. Any questions on any of it? Sounds like just the PayPal and an outdated phone number issue at this point. Any questions on any of the training? Or?
Right now in the training, I don't remember anything. I just going to ask, in the past, they never wanted us to deal with realtors. In this deal, we can now, right?
What do you mean deal with realtors? What would you have them do?
Well, if we found a house listed to a realtor, is that a good deal or not?
Depends. We're going to run numbers on it through the deal evaluation process.
Okay.
So it depends. Here's what I want you to do. There's a time when you get moving forward where you will probably start looking at listed properties, but not yet. Start with vacants. And I'll tell you this, Rob and Brad, who are killing it in Memphis, they had the first month they opened operation, they did over $100,000, and they've had very few since where they haven't had a six-figure month. There's no agent involved on their team. No need.
That's good to know.
They do have a person at this point who makes offers to listed properties. But everything starts with vacants. So what you are learning and going through is exactly how they identified and launched their operation in Memphis. Same thing.
Good enough. So, okay.
Yep. Any other questions?
Not right now, Mr. Schuller.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Hey, on Fridays, so three things throughout the week, just a quick reminder, Mondays and Thursdays office hours here, weekly updates on Friday. So when you log into the coaching center, they'll say weekly update on the left side of the screen. Click that, and there's a form you can fill out and submit that we get. And here's it's helpful in two ways. Number one, we can see, you know, where you're at, what's going on, you know, eventually. And here's the thing, Gary, you're on it, Sherry, you're on. Up front, you're going to have a lot of zeros on that thing, and that's fine, because you're just getting started. But as time goes on, how many vacant leads do you have? How many offers have you made? It's going to start tracking this stuff so we can see where you're at. The second thing that's more important is this is going to help you get in the habit of tracking weekly KPIs. So KPI, acronym for key performance indicators. So what are the things in your business that you can track that make the most difference? And so when you do your Friday check-in, again, three things throughout the week, office hours Mondays and Thursdays, fill out the weekly updates on Friday, all right? And it'll get you in the habit of tracking what's going on. And I'm telling you, in the months and years to come, you don't have to look any farther than the numbers. And this is any business, right? You don't have to look any farther than the numbers to know either A, why you're struggling, or B, why you're killing it, because the numbers will tell you everything.
Okay.
Right. If you go through a week and you have zero offers, you know, there's no need to be surprised why you don't have new deals or things seem kind of stalled. Right. So
right.
Helps us know where you're at, stay in the loop, and more importantly, gets you in the habit of training the production numbers, the productivity numbers. So the KPI that stands above all others is offers made. Offers made. If you want to boil it down in its simplest form and say, what's the difference between Rob's current business and mine? And I would tell you, his team makes more offers. They're going out daily. And we've got it. So when I was setting up my team, and we just put it together here in the last 60 to 90 days, but we had a goal that I told them, hey, guys, we got to be making an offer a day. And that turned into multiple, and now we're moving at a pace where we're just shy of getting a contract a day. So the offers, the consistent offers start to turn into the consistent contracts. So
I'm glad you went into that into that, but that brings me to a question. When you go after deals, we're supposed to send out postcards, right? Or cards?
Nope.
Mail? No?
There's not a postcard in the modules that you're going to go through. You're going to have bird dogs in the field driving around generating vacant leads. Those vacant leads come into FreedomSoft. You're going to have a VA skip trace them. And after the skip trace has been done, you're going to make an outbound phone call to the owner. Using the script that's in there. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we did have that frozen one that we still need to work on. Maybe we skip the. Maybe some of the answers were there and I didn't find them, but that's good to know. I thought we're going to have to send cards, but wow, that's awesome.
Here's the thing: a lot of people. Well, direct mail is the obvious one where when people say, okay, I don't want to just buy deals off the MLS. What do? Oh, let's go to direct mail.
Right.
So quite a few investors in the major markets send it out, and people start to get bombarded with postcards.
Exactly.
And here's the thing about direct mail is it works. If you're consistent about it, it works. But we bring a totally different method to the table and say, hey, let's find the vacant properties. And why vacant? Because we're playing percentages here, right? Vacants have the highest likelihood that the property is causing an issue and the owner wants it solved. Because vacant real estate costs money. Property taxes are due, and you can't let the weeds in the front yard get 12 inches deep or the city will come by and start putting fines on the property and charging you for it, right? So vacant real estate always costs money, always. And so we're playing the percentages. You know, the reason we evaluate cities, why? Let's play the percentages. Could you come to Denver and try and find a deal? Yeah, maybe. It's going to take you a whole lot of effort. Can we go somewhere else where the market looks a little bit different, right? The inventory numbers are different. The price points are different. And get involved in deals quicker? Absolutely. So, again, we're playing the percentages. That's why vacants. So I just told Dave, if you're going to use that FreedomSoft tool, to pull out of state owners. Why? Because a vacant property is likely a problem, and the problem is likely amplified if the owner lives out of state, so they can't just drive over and take care of it or see it or whatever the case. So.
Yeah, once again, you made me realize I lost track of we were looking for vacant leads. I lost focus of that, but now I'm back in there.
Okay. Yep. Vacant. Here's the thing. When you, as you're moving forward as an investor, you'll likely send out some direct mail, but it's not even a part of what we're going to be doing.
Awesome.
And I guess I'll tell you this. In the modules, there is a fork in the road. If whether you pick the high price or a low price market, if you go to a high price market, it does talk about direct mail. If you're in a low price market, direct mail is not even mentioned.
Awesome.
So.
Okie dokie.
And you guys picked Albuquerque, is that right?
Yeah, so far we probably looked at another one some tonight.
Hey, send me your top three finalist cities, and then tell me the one that you chose and why to the coaching email. I wanna follow your line of thinking, and I'll either agree with you and say great, or I'll give you my input in a different direction.
Okay. Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, because we haven't purchased that list yet because having to deal with PayPal, but we'll do that. We'll get the city.
Yeah, let's do
definitely
that.
Like
me,
and send them to you.
Send me that tonight, and that way I can get you a reply either later on this evening or first part of my day tomorrow.
Okay.
And then you can go and grab that list source list. Because Albuquerque may be fine. I haven't looked at it because most of the cities that seem to come out better with a P ratio are east of the Mississippi. So I'm kind of curious what Albuquerque looks like. So send me your top three.
Okay.
And shoot over, send me over the spreadsheet, right, that's in there that you filled out that calculates the P ratio, and then tell me what your top three are.
Okay, and that's how you decide to what cities to go by, the ratio or?
Yeah, it's one of the factors, yep. one of the factors.
Just kind of brainstorming and guessing which ones we would like, but.
No. Yeah, you got to follow exactly what's in that coaching center. It'll walk you through step by step and tell you how to do it all.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, you don't want to throw a dart at a map and go work there. This is way more put together than that. So years ago, Rob realized that not all markets are created equal. And so being the engineer that he is, he put that spreadsheet together. And what it does is it takes the number of properties that are currently listed, and it looks at the recent transactions, which is the first time you go into list source. You're pulling how many absentee owner transactions have happened in the last 90 days. And then it takes those two numbers and then normalizes the calculation based on population in the area. And so it kicks out that P ratio. And the sweet spot is a city with a P ratio of 5 to 14. The lower the number gets, closer to zero, the more competitive the market is. The higher the number gets, the more oversaturated the market is with inventory.
Okay.
So if you were to run Denver, it would be a very low number, probably a 1 or a 2, which means really high demand, really low inventory. If you were to run, what's one that's probably oversaturated? Detroit is kind of a stereotypical, although I know some investors that are doing well in certain pockets of Detroit, but Detroit here recently has been way overpopulated, distressed housing everywhere, but nobody wants to buy it.
Mm.
So if you go to Denver, it's going to be really, really hard to find a deal. If you go to Detroit, you can find 100 deals, but nobody wants to buy them. You can't make money in either of those markets. We got to go to a market where, yes, we can find deals, but there's also demand to buy them. That's where we want to go. Again, we're playing the percentages. Could you go hustle up a deal in Denver with a ton of work? Probably. Could you go, you know, eventually sell a deal in Detroit? Probably. But let's just go somewhere where it's easier, where the data tells us that, hey, we have both deals that we can find and hungry buyers. Let's go there.
Okay.
So, yeah, everything about this, every step of the way is thought out. So I want you to follow it exactly how it unfolds in the modules.
Okay.
Mark.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Anything
so
else,
this
Gary?
This is Gary's partner, Felipe.
Hey.
Okay, so on the spreadsheet, when you're calculating all your population and all that and everything, okay,
yep.
When it goes to the P ratio, you want to be in the sweet spot, nothing above or lower than that, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. It's not an end-all, be-all. It's a great tool. For instance, I mean, what if we ran Denver right now and it was a 5.5? We would say, hey, it's in the sweet spot. The next thing I would do is I would go on Google and I would search, what's the average single-family home price in Denver? And it would come back and tell me that the average single-family home is going for $487,000 because I looked it up 3 months ago. And I would say, no, thank you. Average home price just under $500,000. I don't want to go there. Super expensive.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah, the P rate, it's not, like I said, it's not that we have a good P ratio, let's go there. But it's one of
the
factors
that we want to
look at.
The average single home price is what you want to look at also, yeah.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
And then the other thing, too, is, you know, again, we're playing percentages. So let's say we have two cities. They have the same P ratio. Let's say they're both a 10. So they're right in the sweet spot. Right? So they're both a 10.
Right.
One city, the population is 350,000, and the other city, the population is 750,000. Which one do you pick?
350,000, wouldn't you?
I picked the bigger one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
More people, more buyers, more inventory. The bigger city.
Right, the less population, the less chances you have.
Well, yeah, the fewer number of houses, and I'm here to buy houses.
Right, right.
I'm in business. I want to buy houses. So I'm going to go to a big area, right?
Exactly.
So that's why I want to see your guys, your top three or five, send over the spreadsheet. Tell me at this point in time, what's your top selection and your line of thinking? So
okay.
Send that over, get that over into the coaching email tonight. Can you guys do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because I want this decision made on your market tomorrow, and then buy that list source list tomorrow and map that data so you're off and running. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Beautiful. Good questions. Somebody's getting in and out of their car.
Yeah.
Hey, if you ever know there's noise coming, hit star six, and you'll just – we won't be able to hear you, but you can hear us. You can mute out.
Is there a way to find the system other than doing that instead of guessing it? You know what I'm trying to say?
What do you mean?
Hey, Sherry, what questions do you have after the first couple of days here or the conversation? Anything?
Well, I haven't jumped into it yet. I plan on it this weekend. So it's just been good to listen, kind of see where people are.
Yep. Yeah, this, you know, usually people chime in and they're, you know, either new, getting started, or, you know, you'll hear from some folks that we've been working with for a little bit. Like, you know, when Mike chimed in at the beginning. You weren't on because I gave you the wrong PIN number, but Mike at the beginning has, you know, I think he said he's made 43 or 45 offers to date and working some live deals, and, you know, that's where you're headed. So.
Right, yeah. Well, it'll be nice. I'll get to hear him next Monday probably.
Yeah, he's always on. Yep. Who else? Hey, Clark, I just heard you check in. Any questions? Nope. Anybody else? What time are we at? 10 after. Question you asked me.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
This is Gary again.
Yeah.
Not sure how to ask this question, or maybe you already answered it, but when we're choosing a city, I understand that we've got to do that spreadsheet and get the values or whatever, you know, the sweet spot. But how do you pick those? Do we have to, I guess I'm trying to decide, do you go Google the population of the biggest cities? Is that how you do it, or houses under 100,000?
So there's a video in there. You can Google U.S. cities by population. And here's what I'll tell you. You can make a city of 500,000 work, but my preference is to get up as close to 1 million or more as possible. And here's the thing, too, is it's not just city data, but there's also MSA data, which are metropolitan statistical areas. So, for instance, Denver, and this is any city. You've got the city of Denver, but then you have a bunch of suburbs around Denver that make up the MSA. So there, you know, there's activity going all over Denver and in the suburbs, you know, Lakewood to the west and, you know, Highlands Ranch to the south, whatever. There's the whole metroplex, metropolitan area, and every major city has that. So here's what you guys need to pay attention to, and I don't want this to be confusing, and you've got to watch the videos in there because they explain it, but you can – and it's in the video, but you can evaluate just the city, or it shows you how to also evaluate the MSA. Here's where you would use them. Let's say you're looking at a city, like, I don't know what the population of Albuquerque is, but what is it? A couple of 300,000 people? What is it?
I think it's 500,000, I thought.
500,000? Okay, so
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself immediately, okay, that's on the small side. So I'm going to go to Google and say, what's the population of the Albuquerque MSA? And you can just Google that, and it'll tell you, and it'll show you the area. And then you can go into list source, and instead of just pulling absentee data for the city of Albuquerque, you can select the very first selection you make in list source is geography. You can select MSA, and then select the Albuquerque MSA, and I can see, hey, is the investor activity just in the city, or is it in the entire metroplex, the entire MSA statistical area, right?
Right.
So what I'm going to do when you guys send me that spreadsheet tonight is the first thing I'm going to do is pick a city at random and double check that your numbers look right, because we've got to have good data if we're going to make a good decision, right?
Right, right.
So I'm going to check that. But, yeah, follow, just lean on the videos in there because a lot of times it's easier to watch and then, you know, hear me talking than it is to pick all this up on a phone call. So.
Okay.
And also at the beginning of step three, module three, where Rob's talking about picking a city, he shot a video training, and he talks about kind of his preferences east of the Mississippi. He likes to pick up the Oklahoma, Texas states. Their markets are usually pretty good. Sometimes, you know, like Milwaukee, some of the Midwestern states, but for the most part, he's buying and selling east of the Mississippi.
Mm.
And it's just because the cities are older. They have older distressed inventory. So, I mean, we're making an offer on a house today in St. Louis, and the guy said, give me $5,000, and I'll take it. Now, we got to see the inside, but it's a 1,500 square foot, 3-bed, 2-bath, brick house for $5,000. Right? I mean, those numbers are crazy. In Denver, that house is $350,000.
Wow.
So that's the thing is, you know, West Coast, that house doesn't exist. Utah, that house doesn't exist. Idaho, I don't know much about Idaho, probably doesn't exist. But you get into Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, right, Indianapolis, that house exists.
Okay.
Just older cities, older inventory. Because distress is what drives price down.
Right.
I mean, that's how we buy goods. We buy distressed houses that people don't either want or know what to do with. Or, you know, right, they don't have the money to fix it up, even if it's a great deal. You know, hey, why aren't you putting $20,000 into this house and just fixing it up? Don't have it. Or don't know how to do it.
Right.
So distress causes, I mean, that's why we're able to buy good. Because the properties are, you know, beat up in some way, shape, or form for the most part.
Okay.
What else?
That should be all the questions that we had.
Okay. I know it's a lot of info, guys. Hey, here's what I'm telling you. Just like I told you on orientation call the other day, jump on every office hours you can because you're going to hear the same topics come up, and then right now it's new and you feel like you're swimming and like, holy crap, how are we going to get all this? And then you hear it 3, 4, 5 times, and then it just starts to make sense and become part of your language and how you operate. So just keep chiming in. You're doing fine. I want you swimming a little bit. Because you're going to be
definitely swimming.
Yeah, that's okay. That's right where you should be at this point.
Okay.
Just keep plugging in, stay at it one step at a time, and it'll all come together and start making sense.
Good enough.
Yep. It's a you know, Rob's an engineer by training, so it's a well thought out process, and that'll become more and more evident to you as you start to go through it. But it's all data driven. It's all data driven. We never say, I feel like Cleveland's a good market. I'm going to go start there.
Yeah, that's
all based on data. Yep.
I see. Okay.
We're going to let the data drive what we do.
Okay,
anybody else?
Guess,
what's that?
I guess that's all we have. I guess we'll sign off.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, and we'll get that spreadsheet figured out and send it to you.
Yeah, send that over tonight.
Okay.
All right, guys.
All right, you have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Anybody else?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. I'm not hearing anybody chime in, so I'm off to our nieces have band concerts tonight, so we're going to go listen to middle schoolers play instruments. So.
Lucky you.
All kinds of fun. You're welcome, Sherry. I'm glad we finally got you on here. Sorry about all the confusion.
That's okay.
Brain cramp week. All right. Good to talk to you.
All right.
All right, everybody.
All right,
hey,
bye.
Have a
Yep. Have a great afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. And let's have a productive Friday through the weekend, and we'll check in again on Monday. Any questions, obviously, you know, tomorrow or over the weekend, get them into the coaching email so we can get a reply to you, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike. Have a great
okay.
weekend.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care, everybody. See ya.
Yeah.